powerful. I've just read this because it lines up with the message I'm bringing today.
Amen.
And remember going to Ken that Sunday and telling him how I was really blessed.
Yeah.
And how it's matching the message I'm working on. It's quite a long, really long message that I chose to split into parts.
Amen.
Maybe one day I can write something about it and make it available for the body of Christ. Because it implies chapters, sections that one has not only to talk about and pass, but to go a little bit deep and expand on them. That's why I'm thinking about chapters. And we have a family full of potentials. I'll do the draft that I can do. And we're going to use the talent and potentials within the house to make it into maybe a book. We thank God. The message that I want to share with you today is entitled Desire. And you can see now what Ken was talking about. The unfinished battle of mind. All go around the heart desire. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory today. And we are so grateful to you because none of us has made it today in this place by his or her own strength. It was all by your grace, O Lord. We thank you, Father, for what you have already done for us, for what you're doing right now, and for what you're going to do even when we're going to depart from this place. As we are about, Father, to hear your word, we ask you to reign in our midst. To meet each and every one of us at that place of our need. You know what we are struggling with in our daily lives. You know what we are dealing with. And we know that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God who sees and who provides. We ask you to see, to look at all our needs as we are listening to your word and to provide to those needs, O Lord. Most of all, give us the clarity of thoughts so that we might understand your word and allow it to become flesh in our lives. Yes, Father, I would like to disappear for you to appear and minister to your church. And at this particular moment, we think about our pastor leaning on the bed or the couch in home, Father, because he can't make it. Father, know that he's not willing to be in our midst, but because of the illness that is tormenting his health. As a family, we raise our voice to you, O Lord, and we ask you at this particular moment to visit him, to bless him, Father, and to heal him completely. Please restore his health, O Lord, so that very soon he might be back in our midst. We miss him dearly, Father, and we want him back. Father, have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before pass the message, I would like to introduce to you my friend Natasha. Can you stand up, please? Her name is Natasha Da Silva. You may sit down. She's a member of the missionary ministry I'm running, Shalom Africa, and one of the key members of another project we're running in Sheffield called Africa Time. You'll remember that with Africa Time, we were doing something to have the petition signed for our sister Odette. So she's part of all that great work that was done. And her input in the work we're doing is really tremendous. And we praise God for her life. Well, Natasha, this is my spiritual family. We welcome you and we love you. God bless you and enjoy the ride. Desire. This is one of those messages when you start going deep into them, not only you receive information, but you get challenged, deeply challenged yourself. And I love it when you get to that point, because you are humbled when you're delivering what the Lord is laying in your heart. Because you can see the challenges in front of you. It's different from something you've been already there. And you have succeeded. Now you're passing the information, the message to God's people. There is a danger when you're doing things or dealing with a message like that. Because you can have an inner attitude of a professional. You know everything. You've done everything. And the message, when you are delivering the message, if you are not careful, it's going to be as if you're ministering only to them, not to you. However, it's not that where the Lord operates. Even if you've already been there, when he chose you to deliver that message, it means you are part of the message. You are part of the flock that God wants to do something with and for. So you don't have to put yourself outside the message. You are inside. As for this message, desire, well, I don't see any preacher who can put himself out of it. We are all there inside. And I thank God. Well, my format have changed to French, and I don't know how to do the PowerPoint in French. So accept those stuff that are on the side. Good, good. The key verse that we have to read today is Psalm 37, verse 4. For those who don't have their Bibles with them, I took my time to put it. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. This was the verse that the Lord gave me. And as I was reading this verse, although it's not a new verse to me, I know it by heart. And in the past, I've preached using this verse. But the Lord gave me a new reading of this verse. I went on digging a little bit deeper, trying to understand delighting oneself in the Lord, what it really means. Praise God. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And this is what came. I came to understand that delighting oneself in the Lord is to get the satisfaction in the Lord. To be satisfied with the Lord. Once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your life as your personal Savior and Lord, you can confess, like Paul, that all the things that was considered as gain to me in the past, now I look at them like mud, like rubbish. They are no longer valuable the way they used to be. Because I come to that point of concluding that there is more to life than all those stuff that was boiling in my heart and driving me crazy. For some, it was drinking. For others, it was smoking. For others, it was maybe pub crawling. On Friday, they can't stay at home. Working from Monday to Friday and waiting for that pay to have enough to go and start visiting one pub after another. Enjoy themselves. Dance to the tune that is played in the pubs. For others, it's sex. Like this one guy, when I was at Matthew's Hall, he came to me and confessed, he said, "My friend, I'm ashamed of my past." Say, "What are you talking about? What do you want to talk about?" Say, "When I was kissing girls, to me it was a triumph. When I was bedding girls, to me it was a triumph. But now I feel ashamed of that kind of life. I shouldn't have really gone through that kind of mess." In fact, he had a best friend there where we were studying. And one day, Pastor Shepherd, who came to preach here, found them in the common room for students, snogging that wife of his friend. Unbelievable, but it's true. And when he came to me, it was many months after that incident happened. So you can understand at which level the guy got to, up to disrespect his friend's wife or his, because your friend's wife is your friend as well. You owe her respect. You owe your friend respect. You can't touch her due to the respect you have for your friend. Other people, they do delight into many other things. Maybe having a flashy car or wearing designer clothes and stuff like those. So here we have a citation of one scholar. He says, "If a man does the right thing and obeys the law, he may lose his fortune and his position. He may finish up in unpopularity, loneliness, and disrepute, but he will still possess the inner satisfaction which is greater than all the rest put together. No price tag can be put upon this. It brings that contentment which is the crown of life." Praise God. Once you get to this place where everything in your life is falling apart, things that you were hanging on, things that were considered to be your stronghold, you lose all those things. But you have the contentment because Christ lives in you. Then you can say, I am indeed saved. Because it's easy to say that I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a Christian. But as long as our hearts are finding satisfaction into worldly things, and we can even hang ourselves when we lose those possessions, then something is wrong. Christ is not alive in us. We need to double check our faith and to recommit our lives to Him. May God help us. This inner satisfaction can only happen when the person is saved. When Christ has entered into your life, and He can't come and dwell in you by force. He says in Revelation, He is standing in front of the door of your heart. I'm knocking. If you only hear my voice and open the door of your heart, I will enter. I will dwell in you. I will eat with you. Your concerns will be my concerns. Your problems will become a problem. Me and you, we're going to be one. And there is no one who ever opened the heart for the Lord Jesus Christ and means to have this inner satisfaction. I remember a few years back when I was in London, somehow I got caught into this American thinking mindset of greatness for men of God. And before I know it, I was deep into that, associating greatness with material things. So I said to myself, I'm a man of God. I need a nice car. I bought a Chrysler. And I loved it. I'm a man of God. My house has to be well presented. When people come in my house, they have to see that, yes, this is a man of God. He is blessed. I splashed £2,700 for the settees. Leather settees, recliner, and my heart was satisfied. I did crazy things in that mindset of greatness. And after a while, the joy that was in my marriage started falling apart, although I had all those material things. The presence of God that people, when they were coming to visit us, that presence they were feeling in my heart was no longer there. So I lost the essence of my life. That glory of God that was every day permanent in my house, I replaced that glory with material things because I became crazy thinking that greatness is linked with what Americans are telling us that is greatness. And when everything fell apart, I came back to the reason. I understood that I was so stupid to associate greatness with worldly things. Who is greater than John the Baptist? Jesus said, no one among men born from women. But who was John the Baptist? He didn't have a mansion. He didn't wear designer clothes. talking about all the things, he had literally nothing. But he had the anointing of the Most High in his life. In the eyes of the Lord, he was greater than all the men, all the prophets. But he had nothing that the world could look at and say, this is a man of God. In fact, when we look at the Old Testament theology, you're going to see that there is more link to material things for people to say that this man, God is with him. You can understand it when you look at the life of Job. When things went really wrong in his life, he lost his children, he lost his wealth. His best friends come to him and start accusing him of sin. Because he lost the material things. So they accuse him of sin. Because the materials are no longer there. But when everything was okay, he had all the world look at, pay attention at, nobody could accuse him of sin. But Jesus, when he came, he brought a new light. And reading the life of Jesus, the Bible says, he had no house, because he's comparing himself. He said that birds, they have nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay down his head. Meaning, shall we say he was homeless? But for sure, we couldn't point at material things that he had a BMW, or he had this and that, or all these crazy things that we see in the world and the church is embracing, really, coming from Hollywood. He had nothing of that stuff, but he had life. Is that life, when he communicated that life to you, once you open your heart to receive him, it gives you satisfaction. It gives you satisfaction. My community, the Congolese people, we are victims of the culture musicians, our musicians, brought to us. Materialism. Like even here, young people also are influenced by the culture that celebrities are bringing to them. So, likewise here, you see celebrities tattooing their bodies anyhow. Young people are embracing that culture, having tattoos without bad intentions. But it's the culture that celebrities are creating. In my country, in Congo, it's not about tattoos. It's about being smart, dressing good. And anything related to designer clothes, it's really welcomed and applauded. And that's how you see that the Chinese business of fake designer clothes was well promoted in Congo. Because they can't afford the original designer clothes. But the desire deep inside is to wear designer clothes. If you cannot afford it, fake it. By faking it, you'll have that satisfaction of your desire. This kind of culture that either in Congo, either here, the celebrities, musicians are bringing to the communities, all those kind of stuff cannot give a sustainable satisfaction. Those desires get a volatile satisfaction. But this inner satisfaction can be given only by Christ. So, going back, we heard that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us what our heart desires. Amen. Before we receive what our heart desires, we have first to do the first thing, to delight ourselves in Him, to get satisfaction in Him. What is pleasing Him must please us as well, because He lives in us. That's why you see the Word of God become sweet and sweeter every day you read it. Because He is in the Word. He is in the Word. Once you get a new reading of the Word of God, you have clarity of the Word of God, you find that satisfaction, that happiness. Your heart's desire is fulfilled. Because your satisfaction is in Him. Amen. And that's where we have the challenge. I thank the woman of God for the daily reading she always managed to bring to us. And I'm looking forward for next month, because the one you gave us is ending this month. Are we going to have some? Fantastic. Praise God. May God bless you for that. When you read the Word of God every day, that, shall I call it, a divine desire within you, because Christ lives in you, will be fulfilled. And asking for your needs to be met or not asking, the Lord Himself will take charge of that. Now, let's have a look at this situation. Where are we standing? What is your position? If you lose your fortune, your position in the community, in society, your popularity, you become lonely because all your friends, they find that they have nothing to do with you because you are not seeing things with the same light as them. They want to drive you to places where your heart desire refuses to take you. You say, I'm sorry, I can't really make it. Maybe it was drinking heavily. But now that your heart is satisfied, you stop to drink, and somehow you're going to find yourself lonely. Unless you integrate in a new community. A community of children of God. Who sees things the way you see them. Who aspire to the same things that your heart is aspiring. Where are you standing? I believe, by faith, that we all have this inner satisfaction. And my prayer today is that the Lord take us to that place where all the worldly things will mean nothing to us. I'm not preaching the gospel that priests came to preach us in Africa, encouraging us to remain poor, because the kingdom of God is for those who are poor while they were taking all the minerals. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not encouraging laziness. We have to work hard to earn the things that we need. But our heart have to remain attached to the Lord.
And when you're going to find yourself with nothing but with that inner satisfaction, then you have everything. You can manage to be content with what you have. I remember a period I went when I left everything in London, all those flashy stuff that my heart was connected to. I found myself in Tinsley in a two-bedroom house with nothing. There was no bed. There was no more settees. There was nothing. I took plastic chairs, put them in my living room, and one of my friends, he came from Barnsley, he sat on those plastic chairs, and he became sudden, said, "Dama, I think you better even visit the second-hand shops to have second-hand settees." And I told him, "Don't worry, I'm okay. Don't feel ashamed at my place. I'm fine. I'm waiting on the Lord. When the time will come, this house will be full, and I won't have space where to put things. But in the meantime, I'm content, because I can move around praying without stacking in one corner, because there is a settee there, there is a television there, there is a coffee table there. I can move side to side praying. But it doesn't mean that I didn't need those stuff. I needed them. But I learned to be content in that circumstance, because I knew time is in God's hand. May God help us. I've already spoken about this. To delight in ephemeral things. This is how the world is viewing things. Satisfaction is into these kind of things because the world desires are based in money, power, fame, sex, drinking, drugs, pub crawling, designer clothes, flashy cars, properties, degrees, career jobs, to own your own business, or even to have a stable marriage. All these stuff are good. I'm not trying to knock them down. You need them as long as you are living here on earth. But the point I'm bringing forth is that your heart has to be connected to the Lord. Or the desires of your heart have to be in your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not in those things. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his justice. Then all these other things will be added." They are just bonuses that the Lord will add onto that inner satisfaction. The desire to be in harmony with the one who took your place up on the cross. As Ken was explaining to us, the meaning of the communion we have. That deep desire to be really one with him, day or night. Well, that will ask you to make sacrifices. In this recession period, one can bring you a good deal according to the world. How you can make money easily. But the method to use might not please the Lord. So if you are one with the Lord, you're going to make a sacrifice by saying, no, I really, really need this money, but I can't do this. I can't. Once I was watching a program, I think it's called Steal or Split. Anyone saw it? No. Steal or Split. This young lady from London, she was a singer, a gospel singer, about to release an album. She needed money to release the album. She went there. She played very well the game. She got to the end. Now, she had to make a decision, either to steal the money or to split. But this other lady who was in the final with her fooled her. She said, I won't steal from you. The Christian insisted, said, this money is going to help me work my share. The split that I'm going to have will help me to release my album and will bless the church, because I'm going to give one part to the church. I have brothers and sisters praying for me from the church. If you steal from me, you're stealing from the church. But the greedy one chose to steal. And this Christian lady, she stuck on her decision. Because at the end, she could change her mind. Because she saw the attitude of this other lady, those sweet words disappeared. She said, okay, I'm taking this ball, and that's my final decision. So we knew, we could predict that the other one is stealing. But the Christian chose to please God. Because her heart had satisfaction in the Lord, not in money. And the money was stolen from her. She said, I came here not to steal. And I'm satisfied with my boy. You can steal, it's your own business. You're stealing from God. I was really touched by that girl. You're going to meet challenges in your life. Those challenges will whet your heart's desires. Because God knows what are your heart desires. He knows. If your heart desires are money or all this stuff, above that inner satisfaction of being in line, in oneness with the Lord, He knows. All those stuff we have enumerated, we can call them vanity. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now check the what the Amplifier Bible is saying. Vapor of vapors and futility of futilities, says the preacher. Vapor of vapors and futility of futilities, all is vanity, is emptiness. All is falsity, is vainglory. You might have millions, billions. It's vanity. So we have to position ourselves as a Christian where our heart desires are. Because if we put our heart desires in the worldly things, they are vanities. And the person who's saying this have seen everything. When we talk about marriage, he had many wives and concubines. When we talk about money, he had money. Power, he was the king. Fame, he was famous. He had everything one can desire here on earth. But after experiencing all those stuff, he drew the conclusion and said, everything is emptiness. Everything is absolutely pointless. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? In a time, difficult time like this one, recession, marriages are being shaken, breaking down, people are losing jobs, the money is no longer coming in your bank account the way it used to come. Maybe you're dealing with housing problem, or you are about to lose your mortgage. You're facing all kind of stuff. Or in the case of my sister Odette, it's the immigration problem. But we believe that that will be sorted because we're praying. You might get all those stuff. You might get them. But they are pointless. They are meaningless. It's just emptiness. It's vanity. I was watching a movie on BBC. It was just about to finish. I don't know the title of that movie. But the main actor, it was this guy, Al Pacino. He was portraying the devil. He was playing the Antichrist, the devil himself. And he kept repeating vanity, that my favorite sin is vanity. And that drew my attention. And even at the end, the movie was concluded. He stood there laughing and saying, vanity is my favorite sin. I stopped for a moment and started analyzing that movie, just the small part that I watched, comparing it to what is going on in the world. Of course, the enemy, the devil, is presenting to the world vanity. Money, possessions, all those kind of stuff that we can enumerate, they are only vanities. No one can receive those stuff and say, okay, now I can die in peace. I'm happy. Because once you have them and death is facing you, you won't die. And unfortunately, those stuff will not save you. They won't. They won't stop death to take you away. We thank God. And my prayer today is that someone in this place refocus the priorities in life. Because before the Lord meets your heart's desires, your desires have to line up with what is pleasing Him. The priority of your desires have to meet the heart of God. And that's where you see many prayers are not answered. You may wonder why I have prayed, I have fasted, I've done all kind of things. Now we have to ask ourselves, what was the need and what was the heart's desires? Two things. The need and the heart desires. Because what you desire, your heart is desiring, it might not really what you need. My fellow Africans, due to what is happening in Africa, we believe that by coming here to Europe, we can manage to secure a better life, materially speaking. Now, a child of God in Africa can pray and ask God to open a way and allow him to come to Europe. The need he's got is to secure a better life. But the Lord might not answer that prayer because in his agenda he knows that he will give him what he needs there in Africa without him going through all the struggles and travel to Europe. He will refuse to answer that prayer because he can tell what is really twice if it's God's will for you to come to Europe. Because your heart desire is to have a good life, and Europe is one of the ways, and for some, it's the only way. But God's agenda is completely different from what we think. It's a custom among Pentecostals and Christians in general, when we pray, we select words to say. And sometimes those words can be really sweet. If someone hears what we say, they will sound good. But the question is God, who sees the heart, who knows the heart's desires, pay attention to the sweet words we say in our prayers? And there, I will say, the Lord answer heart desires, not sweet words that we can put in our prayer. I'm not asking you to be nasty in your prayer or to be boring in your prayer. But try to match your heart desire with what you're saying, what is coming out of your mouth. Amen. Next point, if I can, because it seems as if my laptop is stacking. Here we are. In the passage that you see there, Genesis 22, verse 14, Abraham, after seeing what he saw, he called the Lord that he's Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord who sees and provides to the necessities, the needs of those who put their delight in him. Are you going through a situation that is making you to have sleepless nights? Delight in the Lord. He will give you your heart desires. Why? Because he's Jehovah Jireh. He sees where you are, the situations, the troubles you are in. He knows your very needs. And he's got everything to meet and provide to your needs. My Bible says, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. But he's also the master of time and circumstances. Your needs might be or might seem to be urgent You want that thing now. But the master of time and circumstances, he's not sleeping. He's seeing your need. And he's willing to provide to your need. But he will do it according to his own time. Amen. My heart desire, as I believe in myself, in my heart, was to push forward Shalom Africa Ministries by going myself to settle in Rwanda. You prayed for me, and the prayers were answered. By the end of the day, here I am. I'm finding myself here. Shall I say, relocate again from Africa to here? Because I had to start everything all over again after distributing my belongings and all the stuff. I needed again, once again, the chairs to sit on, the bed to lie on, and all the stuff. It was after that period that the Lord connected me to this young lady I brought today, Natasha, who had a plan to go to Africa. And according to what we were planning, she had, as part of her degree program, to go to Rwanda for 6 months. And to do the job that I was meant to do there. She's full of potential. She could even maybe do it better than myself. But we looking at what can be done. She's proposing to go there when she graduates in 2011, around summertime. And that will be not for 6 months only, but for quite a long period. Do you see how the Lord meets the needs? He saw that I don't really need to go there. Of course, the needs is there. But my kid needed me here to take care of them, to raise them myself. And he made a way. In the midst of all my confusions, all the questions I was asking, Lord, now what will happen to Shalom Africa? And he brought Natasha, ready to go. And to Ava, a shepherd taught us here, to give a considerable amount of time of her life for the people suffering there in Rwanda. And now Congo is associated as well. May God bless you, Natasha. God heard the prayers. He didn't answer that desire I had in the way I needed it to be answered, but he answered my heart's desire according to the need, not to the move I was about to make. And who knows when she was going to graduate, what will happen? I was trying to push the envelope, asking my friends in Africa Town for us to start saving some money and all of us to go together. Of course, we're going to leave you there. Don't worry, you'll be fine. Do you have prayers that up to this day you think the Lord has not seen them, heard them, answered them? Are they matching with what the Lord sees that is the proper desire of your heart? According to what you need, not what you want. He will only answer the needs, not the wants. Amen. Next time, as the Lord will allow us, we'll look at many things. But before we close, the Lord is the one who restores proper desires. I'm going to ask you before I get the opportunity again to continue this message for you to read this passage that is on the screen there. But I would like to highlight something. Verse 12. And Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" She said this after overhearing what was said, what the Lord promised to Abraham, saying that next year, this time, I will come. Next year, this time, Sarah, your wife, will get pregnant. She will bear a child for you. And when Sarah overheard that, she laughed. It was really a joke. She looked at her condition. And I love this word that I have highlighted. I am waxed old. So, when it comes to children, don't talk about it. I have passed the time, the age. And not only that, she emphasized again, saying, "Shall I have pleasure?" And that's where we're going to start from next Sunday. Next time. Trying to define desire, what it means. Because it's a single word with an array of meaning. And here, the pleasure she's talking about is about sexual pleasure, sexual desire. Saying, am I going to have the desire, sexually speaking, because I'm really old? To close up, as you're going to discover for yourself, what the Lord promised happened. I said, He's the master of time and circumstances. What the world is calling what's old is not what's old to the Lord. He performs miracles every day. He's still meaning business when it comes to miracles. So don't pull yourself down saying that it's all over for me, I'm finished. What is your heart desire? According to the very needs you have, not to emptiness desires, not to faulty desires, but the real desire that the Lord can approve, that indeed, my son, this is a desire, this is a need in your life. Maybe you waited for quite a long time. You are discouraged. My brother, maybe it's that job. You sent application forms, as you shared with us, and the job is not coming. I know a guy who was in prison, and he was meant to be short called due to the political climate, and soldiers started to discuss before him, in front of him, "Let's kill him. No, let's leave him. Let's kill him. Let's leave him. It's my brother, my own brother." He was not a believer. He came out of prison and he said, "Your God is alive. I was a dead person because they shot a certain number of people. I don't know the number exactly now, because it's quite a long time ago. They shot them in front of me. When my turn arrived, they start discussing, debating, to suit me or to leave me. Your God is alive. And I thank God for saving him. He added something that your God is the God of the 25th hour. Because everything was set, everything was done. He was a dead person. But on the 25th hour, God showed up and his life was saved. And that's the God we are worshiping in this place. We've seen him time after time, working miracles, solving our problems, meeting our needs, and even today, even now, he is alive in the house. Even now, he came to meet with us, to meet our needs. We believe in the prayers we raised to him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And he wants to meet those desires. In the past, he did it for Sarah and Abraham. They were physically finished. They were very old. Biologically speaking, they didn't have the desire. You know what I'm talking about. But still, they bore a child. Isaac was born. Your Isaac have to be born today, if only you believe. Your situation is not over yet. Take heart. Take courage. And don't leave this place without seeing the leaders to pray for you if you find yourself discouraged in your condition, in your situation. He is alive, alive in our midst. And he wants to do something afresh for you in your very situation. Let's stand up. Manu, can you come? It's my personal belief that everywhere there is a hierarchy, it started even in heaven. And that's why usually you see when I pray something and I felt prompted to do a special prayer, I usually call Bishop to pray. He's not here. I'm asking our mother here to pray. Specifically for those who want to recommit their life to the Lord Jesus, for him to become that inner satisfaction in their lives, and those who are struggling with some serious issues alone in the houses, maybe they haven't shared the secret with anybody, but they want to see God's hand.
Thank you. I receive that. If you are here and you feel like you need to commit your life to the Lord Jesus or to recommit your life to the Lord Jesus, to take things to another step, a new step, please feel free to come forth and together we're going to pray for you and ask the Lord to make this day to become a brand new day in your life. To give you a fresh start, a new beginning. All of us, our eyes are closed, please. And the one who feels that needs that prayer can make a step forward and come here. We're going to pray. Thank you, Lord, for my brother. Thank you, Lord. If you are there and the Lord has touched your heart, no pressure at all, but you want to make this decision and give him the entree, the access for him to take over and to lead you, to create his desires in your heart. Replace